How do you make space for lattes, wardrobe upgrades, and hair blowouts without derailing your financial security, savings, and future goals? If you're asking yourself this question, you're in the right place. Hey, I'm Sophia, a Vancouver-based podcaster and the founder of In Her Wallet, a financial education and guidance company on a mission to enable women to take lasting control of their finances by leveraging the insights of behavioral psychology. And this podcast is your guide to financial success, equipping you to live your best life without sacrificing your financial future. Today, in honor of the International Women's Day being celebrated this week, I want to talk about a subject that affects virtually every woman. It's the gender wealth gap. Chances are you've heard of the pay gap, where it's said that a woman on average earns 80 cents for every dollar a man earns, but only a few know that this is just part of the problem. Because at the end of the day, it's not about making less, it's about owning, keeping, and having less. From real estate to investments and savings, the disparity in wealth accumulation between women and men is sickening, to be honest. As of last year, and the few reports that I was able to find, it is said that a single woman owns just 1/3 of the wealth of a single man. That's approximately 30 cents for every dollar a man has, ladies. Obviously, it's a bit hard to pin down exactly how wide the gap is, because when studies like this are done, they collect household versus individual data, meaning many women's wealth data is mixed in with their male partners. But no matter how you look at it, one thing is clear: the gender wealth gap exists, and it's big. Why am I spotlighting this on International Women's Day, kicking off season 3 with this topic? Because I believe that stepping into financial success starts with recognizing the hurdles we might not even know we face and figuring out what steps we can each take in our own lives to shrink that frustrating wealth gap. It's about getting real with the challenges and getting smart with our moves. So let's dive in and tackle this together. So why is this gap so massive, and what can we each do to tighten it? I mean, historically, women and our wallets have faced systematic barriers to financial stability and independence. And the largest contributor to the wealth gap, as you probably have guessed, is the fact that women are paid less than men. Here are two real examples. Imagine you're working in tech, a booming industry with loads of opportunities. Sounds great, right? But here's the catch. Women in tech earn about 87 cents for every dollar their male colleagues make. And it's not just about what you bring home today. It's about what this means for your long-term financial health. That gap can translate to over $400,000 lost over a lifetime. Think about what that means for your student loans, for your dream home, or picture this example. You're a nurse, part of the backbone of our healthcare system, yet even here, women earn approximately 89 cents for every dollar earned by men in the same role. And for women of color, the gap can be even wider. This isn't just an issue in high-paying sectors. It spans across all fields, from education to engineering, affecting women's ability to save, invest, and secure their financial futures. And here's something that might shock you in 2024. Pay transparency is still a major issue. Despite advances in workplace equality, many companies remain tight-lipped about how much they're paying their employees. This opacity not only keeps the gender pay gap going, but also makes it challenging for women to negotiate fair salaries. There is good news, though. Governments and legislative systems are taking steps in the right direction. A great example is my home province, British Columbia in Canada, where last year in March, it introduced Bill 13, 2023, also known as the Pay Transparency Act. What's revolutionary about the act, which went into effect on November 1st of last year, so just 4 months ago, is its requirement for employers to include wage or salary ranges on all publicly advertised job postings, which in 2024 is really how we find jobs, right? This is a significant step towards transparency, as I think it empowers all of us with valuable information right from the start. My favorite part of this act is that it also protects employees from retaliatory actions, so harming you in any way if you discuss pay, disclose their own pay information, or even report non-compliance with the act's provisions. This means we can freely inquire about pay, and if the company comes back at you, you can simply cite the act to them. So BC is setting a great example with its Pay Transparency Act. And if you're listening from a different province or even outside of Canada, I would encourage you to explore what legislative measures exist in your region. And here are a few more action steps you can take to ensure you're being paid what you deserve. First off, arm yourself with information. Sites like Glassdoor, Payscale, and LinkedIn Salary offer insights into what others in your field and region are earning. Knowledge is power, and in this case, it's the power to negotiate. Speaking of negotiation, never shy away from negotiating your salary offers or raises. Research shows that women are less likely to negotiate their salaries than men, but when we do, we're often successful. Prepare your case by highlighting your achievements, contributions, and the market data you've gathered. One ongoing tactic you can use is create a folder in your email where you add all emails of your projects completed or praise you receive from the manager. That way, when the time comes to negotiate, you can simply pull it up and have hard proof of your performance. Remember, negotiation is not a confrontation. It's discussion about your value to the company. The second factor contributing to the gender wealth gap that might not be as obvious as first is the amount of time women spend in the workforce compared to men. On average, women spend significantly fewer years in full-time employment, which is partly due to taking career breaks for caregiving, whether it's for children, elderly relatives, or both. We actually touched on the subject of taking care of elderly parents in episode 33, I believe, and we talked about how you can start a conversation with your parents or relatives about them aging and who will be taking care of them physically and financially. If that's something that you want to learn more about, I would definitely recommend checking that episode out. Now, let's consider this real-life scenario. Imagine Emily. She's a talented software engineer, and she took a 5-year break to raise her children. During this time, not only did she miss out on salary increments and promotions, but her absence from the workforce also impacted her pension contributions and long-term investment potential. When Emily looked to return to work, she faced challenges of re-entering a fast-evolving industry, and she actually had to take a lower position and salary than when she left off. Unfortunately, Emily's story isn't unique. It reflects a common challenge faced by countless women. These career interruptions have a compounding effect, significantly impacting women's lifetime earnings and their ability to accumulate wealth. So, what are some of the practical solutions you can take to make sure a career break doesn't impact your financial future? One powerful strategy is having an open conversation with your significant other about the financial implications of these breaks, and potentially having the partner who continues to work to contribute to the caregiver's retirement savings accounts during this period. And so, by making joint contributions to retirement savings, couples can ensure that both partners are financially protected and that the wealth gap created by career breaks doesn't widen unnecessarily. Of course, I agree with you that this approach requires open communication and More importantly, a shift in how we view financial responsibilities within a family. So I would say starting this conversation when planning for children is as important, if not more, as discussing your parental styles. I think at the end of the day, a chat like this can help further strengthen your union as a couple, where both contributors, financial and caregiving, are valued equally. Besides talking to your partner who continues to stay in the workforce while you attend to caregiving responsibilities, is to account for potential career interruptions in your financial plan ahead of time, and also explore avenues like continuous education, skill upgrading, and strategic investing to safeguard your financial future. By the way, if you're facing obstacles in your financial journey and feel unsure about where to begin, I'm excited to let you know about a new offering we've created here at In Her Wallet while we took the break from the podcast. It's the one-on-one money coaching sessions. This is the first time I'm actually talking about this, and I really wanted to tell you guys, our podcast audience, first. I will touch base on what these are towards the end of the episode, but if you are eager to jump in before we officially launch this product through our website, you can simply DM me on Instagram and I'll be happy to share more information with you. Now, the third reason for the wealth gap is something that hits us where it really hurts, our wallets. It's a fairly new phenomenon that I personally came across recently and haven't really heard of before. And it was pretty eye-opening to me. It's the pink tax. If you're listening on Spotify, you can let me know if you've heard of pink tax before by participating in a poll below this episode, or simply leave a review with a comment about it in Apple Podcasts. I'm curious to know what you think of it. So the pink tax refers to the phenomenon where products and services targeted toward women are often priced higher than their male counterparts, despite being similar or identical in nature. This term doesn't denote an actual tax imposed by governments, thank God, but rather highlights a pricing disparity that can be seen in a wide range of items, including toiletries like razors and shampoo, clothing, toys, and even services like dry cleaning and haircuts. After I read about the pink tax, I actually went to Shoppers and compared the price of razors that my fiance Roman buys versus the one that I buy, which is designed specifically for women. And they are in similar quality range. I was shocked to see that his was by about $8 less. So no wonder that the pink tax contributes to the gender wealth gap by effectively increasing the cost of living for women, requiring us to spend more on basic goods and services over our lifetime compared to men. And here's where it gets even more ironic, in my opinion. Studies show that women are the main decision makers when it comes to consumer purchases within households. Yes, we are often the ones managing the budget, making shopping lists, and deciding on purchases that keep our homes running smoothly. So it's particularly ridiculous and frankly unfair that the products targeting us, the very individuals making these critical economic decisions, are priced higher. It's as if our financial savvy in one area is being penalized in another. So what can we do about it? First off, awareness is key. By simply being aware of the pink tax, we can make more informed choices, opt for gender-neutral products or brands that offer fair pricing. Secondly, we can use our voices and our purchasing power to demand change. Companies do respond to consumer behavior, and if enough of us call out and push back against the pink tax, I believe we can drive change. Last but not least, I want to talk about the investing gap. Women tend to keep money in the bank while men invest the majority of theirs. And I don't think that that's something we can be blamed for. It's because historically the financial industry has been male dominated, with investment advice and products seemingly tailored for men. This environment can feel intimidating, leading many women to adopt a more cautious approach to investing or to avoid it altogether. However, investing is one of the most powerful tools that we have for wealth building. It's how we can turn our earnings into financial futures that's not just stable, but also flourishing. With tools like the stock market that are readily accessible to anyone today, you can make sure that your money keeps its purchasing power amid the inflation and potentially grows even further, as the stock market has gone up at an average of 10% since 1928. So if you're keeping your money in the bank, it means you could be missing out on hundreds of thousands or millions over a lifetime. If you haven't started investing or don't quite know how it works, it's totally fine. Your first step could be finding out about a robo-advisor platform or simply Googling, "How can I start investing?" If you need help, feel free to reach out and I'd be happy to tell you more about our one-on-one money coaching available only to our podcast audience as of now. During two 60-minute sessions, we can sit down with you to discuss your current financial position and future goals, talk through the obstacles on your way, and at the end of the two sessions, you will receive a clear step-by-step roadmap to navigate your journey. So the four major factors contributing to the gender wealth gap that I highlighted today are the pay gap, the time spent in workforce, the nuances of the pink tax, and the investing gap. I know hearing many of the stats we discussed today can be disheartening, but here's the uplifting part. Each one of us holds the power to affect change, both in our personal lives and collectively as a community. I want to thank you for tuning into In Her Wallet. If today's episode inspired you or gave you a new perspective, it would mean so much to me if you followed us on your podcasting platform of choice, shared this episode with your friends, and left a 5-star rating and review. I want this episode to serve as a reminder that you are not alone in your financial journey. This podcast is your guide to financial success, equipping you to live your best life without sacrificing your financial future. Let me know how you like this episode, and I'll see you next Wednesday.